Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with our forever joyful Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and we are all joyful because we have the Lord in our hearts. Let us pray.
Abba, Father, Holy God of Israel, thank you for giving us your only Son, our Savior. We exalt and use the power of his name over our enemies that surround us. May the light of your word be a path unto our feet. Protect our children over the remaining summer from any lurking predators as we continually pray for our unsaved loved ones to know you personally and passionately in these very last days. We lift up to you tonight's listeners of any health issues along with these recent prayer requests. Give your wisdom to our leaders to do thy will and bless tonight's study as we honor and glorify you alone. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. And before we get started on the news, let's also mention that last Sunday began the three-week mourning leading up to Tish B'Av, which is the anniversary of both temples being destroyed on the same day. More about that in this month's newsletter going out in about 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, we thought a lot more what happened last week.
We did, because Netanyahu went to Washington, where we expected but did not receive much of any solid information. However, I am also sure that behind the scenes in secret, much was discussed.
Without a doubt.
And they did say they had many conversations.
To include the day after the war in Gaza.
Oh, for sure. And many were concerned President Trump would force Bibi into some awful concessions surrounding the ceasefire deal, because till that war is at least paused, nothing will happen with the Abraham Accords that we all know President Trump is longing for.
Yeah, you know, any ceasefire benefits Hamas greatly.
Oh, for sure. However, it would release 10 hostages, which is pretty important.
Yeah, but in exchange for 1,000 Palestinian prisoners?
Mm-hmm. As well as giving time for Hamas to recruit those prisoners. But not happening yet, as the IDF continues in Gaza and every day making more progress. Just keep praying they will find those hostages in those deep tunnels before more die.
Then they can rid Gaza of Hamas for sure.
And Hamas knows that, mm-hmm. which is why they will keep at least 10, I'm sure, as a bargaining chip. They also talked about resettling those who wish to leave Gaza, which many seem to want, and there are countries who will each take a certain number. And those who want to stay, Israel will make a humanitarian area for them in Gaza's southern end.
Yeah, but nothing concrete has been finalized.
Not yet. But I did find this interesting. While Netanyahu was visiting D.C., there was a nice spirit of unity between Christians and Jews at a special Blair House event. Unfortunately, unfriendly protesters were gathering outside. But just as the evening began, a rare and very intense microstorm struck, sweeping across Capitol Hill and snapping trees, especially near Obama's D.C. residence.
Which quickly forced out all the protesters.
Praise the Lord.
Update on Iran.
Well, explosions continue with another Iranian leader being killed, as we said last week. Likely conducted by undercover Mossad agents with help from the locals who hate the regime and keep pursuing his fall.
And what about Yemen?
Well, they're still shooting missiles at ships in the Red Sea and tries most unsuccessfully to hit Israel. Oh, and by the way, Turkey is accelerating its nuclear project on its Mediterranean coast.
Ezekiel 38.
Mm-hmm.
And what about Syria?
Well, their new leader, remember, a past Al-Qaeda loyalist, still wants peace with Israel and to join the Abraham Accords. And by the way, they are starting to call that the Abrahamic Shield. But still having clashes with the Druze community and blaming it on the Bedouins, which actually probably is true. And Saudi Arabia is stalling Trump, waiting for a security deal for the Palestinians, also expecting Israel to compromise, while pushing Trump to pressure Israel. But as we just said, any ceasefire at this time would allow Hamas to remain and to regroup.
And that's why their meetings in D.C. have been so secret.
They have to stay classified. And why Netanyahu keeps stroking Trump with, at least to me, overbearing praise, sometimes nauseating, knowing how President Trump glories in that. But very obvious, Bibi is trying to keep favor with Trump. As well, the Secretary General of NATO has been pouring on the admiration as well.
But not Putin, who's been a very bad boy.
Yes, increasing the bombs over Kiev, truly stumping President Trump, who yesterday announced another extension of 50 days to end this war, or Putin will face 100% tariffs as well as secondary tariffs on the countries who trade with Russia.
That's a big ouch.
He also moved Europe to buy our weaponry to give to Ukraine.
So we don't have to pay for it.
Right. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually Putin will cave. He just has to save his country.
Or his economy will collapse, and with that, his regime.
You got it. To end this part of the news section, we want to address a situation which we seldom address because it's more of a Hollywood scenario and usually not relevant for our prophetic biblical studies. But this time, although always a problem down through history, it particularly fits for these end of days. Let's read the scripture and then we'll look at its relevancy. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 8.
If you see the poor oppressed in a district, and justice and rights denied, do not be surprised at such things. For one official is eyed by a higher one, and over them both are others higher still.
Did you get that, saints? President Trump rules over our officials, but some others rule over him.
Yeah, we'll call it the deep state.
And it has just played their king on our chessboard. Of course, we're talking about the Epstein case, which could have exposed those heavy into child sex slavery and massive human trafficking that affects us all, especially spiritually. We can see why Jesus said in Matthew 18, and I'm paraphrasing, "Woe to those who harm the children." In this case, President Trump disappointed many on the right who thought finally, after years of whistleblowers, books, and direct testimonies that never go anywhere, would be brought into the light for all to see, as he once promised he would do.
Light is the best disinfectant.
But no. And in fact, scolded a reporter who just asked AG Pam Bondi how the investigation was going. To which Trump interrupted by asking, "Are you still talking about that? That's, like you said, that's old news. We have bigger problems right now."
Move on. Nothing to see here.
Really? Mm-hmm. Then why is Epstein's mistress and partner in prison if there was no crime? Who, by the way, says she would testify to Congress if they would let her? So far, no response.
Oh, the deep state would snuff her out first.
Oh, yeah, they would. And why wouldn't we still care about corruption and our children being sold or bribed and threatened into sex slavery? I still cannot believe that he did that. Although many years ago, and probably most listening right now, you have realized that pedophilia blackmail is a key currency that controls the global crime system that runs our world. Therefore, we have the existence of people like Jeffrey Epstein,
who did not commit suicide.
And there are scores of others. There's bankers, tech titans and political leaders, etc. Actually, so many, how could you indict them all?
That could bring down our whole government.
And Dan Bongino is threatening to quit. And you know what? Trump might encourage him, because even our president wants this all to go away.
And it probably will.
And we'll wrap this up with one more scripture from Proverbs 17:23.
The wicked accept bribes in secret to pervert the course of justice.
What a true prophecy that is.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are always needed, and any donation will automatically add you to our mailing list for our newsletters and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and informative biblical teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay, we had a request come in a few weeks ago asking us to go over the Hosea chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6 prophetic scriptures.
That's about his return.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But first this week we need to premise that with what a day in some instances can also mean.
And we have taught this many times.
Well, we have, but there are always those who are new to Hebraic Roots 101. And because this is so important to understand, we often need to review it. Not just for your personal memory out there, but to grasp it enough to be able to share this nugget with others. Because not every Christian listens to this program. Therefore, it really is your place to disciple.
Yeah, especially to the new believers.
Again, for students of prophecy, this is the first fact to keep in your mind. When you read in scripture that something will happen in or on that day, it's telling you it will happen later in the future.
Beginning with the rapture and continuing 1,000 years.
Yes, it's the seventh day and the last 1,000 year time period before eternity.
Which comes at the close of the sixth day, or 6,000 years from Adam's creation.
Yes. So, let's go back to Genesis to the greatest and very first picture, or better put, typological teaching, written thousands of years ago, penned by Moses, as told by God.
It's the creation typology.
God purposely designed typology to be a genuine form of predictive prophecy stemming from the patterns of his word.
As confirmed in Hosea 12, verse 10.
Yes. And unless it's apocalyptic, we always first take the Bible literally. Then as we mature, we look for the typology most written accounts represent. Because every story we read is true, but is also a picture of something or someone else. It's your gold nugget treasure that God has hidden, but actually in plain sight for his bride to find.
It's like a fun game of challenge.
It really is. As he says in Proverbs 25, let's read that over again from verse 2 from the ESV.
It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out.
Really think about that. We are those kings, according to Revelation 1. So God expects us to look for his gold nuggets. So before time was eternity, and after time will be eternity again. When God created the heavens and the earth, he also created time.
So, one morning and one evening, 24 hours or one literal day.
The second day he divided the waters and made the firmament. The third day plant life, and the fourth day the sun for photosynthesis. Now that fourth day is a huge clue to confirm that each day in this case had to be only 24 hours.
Otherwise, the plants would not survive.
Exactly. And we know that God usually functions within the limitations of natural laws that he himself put into place. And yet still today, some believe creation could have been hundreds of years. As we just said, the plants prove it was an exact 24-hour day of first the evening night, and then comes the light of morning.
So, the fifth day were birds and fish.
And the sixth day, the cattle, and lastly, he created Adam and Eve, which is why six is the number for man. One short of complete, and someday will be a seven.
And Yeshua is an eight.
That's right. Which, by the way, is the only number that has no finished line to it. Two circles, meaning never ending, as in eternity.
So then, on the seventh literal day of creation, God rested.
Oh, was God tired since Genesis says he rested?
No, it's typology.
Or better yet, why did he take 6 days when he could have done it in a minute?
Because it's a very important picture.
Absolutely. He wants us to know something very significant.
And God does not waste scripture.
Never. Everything is there for a reason. The six literal days of creation is also confirmed in Exodus 20, verse 11. Okay, let me repeat. We first take the scriptures literally.
Which enables even a child can understand it.
Then as we mature, we look for the picture or typology that it represents. By the way, the Old Testament contains hundreds of pictures, many revealed in the New Testament. Anyhow, the bottom line is that each day of creation is also revealing a picture of how long humanity will be here before eternity returns.
So, what is the typology of one day?
Well, let's look at scripture to tell us. We'll begin with Psalm 90, verse 4.
For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it's past, and like a watch in the night.
That's right. And also read Psalm 84:10.
For a day in your courts is better than 1,000.
And this next scripture from the New Testament makes it even more clear and very pertinent, especially in Peter's eyes, after revealing he knew his death was near in 2 Peter 3:8.
But, beloved, do not forget this one thing.
Hold for a second. Peter is nearing death, so this is like a deathbed revelation to point out that we need to remember this one thing. Think about it. That means it must be pretty important, wouldn't you say?
Definitely. Which is why we are reviewing it again.
Yes, okay, start that over.
But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
So, 6 days of creation also means 6,000 years, plus the last 1,000 years of the millennial kingdom, with the first 7 literal years of this last day being the judgment of God's wrath on earth. And if righteous, you'll be in heaven for our honeymoon. And when reading Peter in context, you see he's writing about the last days, mentioning creation and the judgment. So again, what he is saying, it's a gold nugget, and that's a huge clue that at the end of 6,000 years from the creation of Adam, judgment will come.
While the righteous are in heaven.
Period. Full stop. After that, we will return with Jesus for the remainder of that seventh day.
So, 993 literal years back on earth.
Yes, now in his earthly messianic kingdom. And by the way, first and second century learned men taught this same typology regarding creation, but was lost beginning in the Dark Ages. And these truths are once again being revealed by the Holy Spirit to his last generation, when knowledge would increase.
Daniel 12:4.
Mm-hmm. Now, because of human error, we could never be sure when the 6,000 years was up.
So, we rely on clues.
That he certainly has given our generation. So we know we are very close. However, with the discovery of the Essene calendar, found along with the Dead Sea Scrolls, we are even more certain that we are at the end of the 6,000-year mark.
And the end of the sixth day.
And we also have Hosea chapter 5 and into chapter 6, which we'll address in detail next week. Be sure to tell your Christian friends, especially those interested in prophecy. They will need to hear this. And as far as the more observant clues, the last prophetic clue that we're all looking for will be the dividing of Jerusalem, which when you hear them talk of a two-state solution or the Temple Mount being designated for all faiths, with Israel giving up some of its sovereignty in that area, and when they say we have peace and security.
2 Thessalonians 5:3.
It's time to go.
You know, that can still be this year.
Yes, or at the very latest next year, which really depends on the year Jesus ascended into heaven, 32 AD or 33 AD. And there's much division on that. But we'll explain our reasoning for 32 AD next time and why so many think it's 33. Knowing just some basic Jewish roots can clarify many of our waverings. So in closing, we hope it's easier to see how and why God in his word would use the phrase in that day or on that day or even just the day, which always refers to the last 1,000 years before eternity begins. And as long as we are still here means that day has not come yet, because the first 7 years of in that day is the dark segment, the night of that day, called the tribulation. Therefore, that day or in that day can refer to either the tribulation or it can refer to the light portion of the day when Yeshua returns. For he is the light and will set up his messianic kingdom on earth. That's why reading in context matters. All right, so is Yeshua really Lord over your life? And this is really important. If you even wonder whether you are an in-name-only Christian of Matthew 7:21, who only has a head knowledge of him and not a true heart conviction and no desire to be in his word, get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. If you hesitate, the enemy may steal this seed away. Repent of your individual sins that have a stronghold over you, then commit or recommit your life to Christ. He is the Messiah to anyone who wants him. I want to leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper in many ways. So, shalom till next time. He's coming soon.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.